My presentation is not about MSH's work in Afghanistan. It is really an overview of what was done by the Ministry of Health to develop a routine health information system. One of the USAID CTOs, when we talked about this early on, said, yeah, I know. They have one thing in common everywhere, they don't work. We found that it does work to a certain extent in Afghanistan. And so the presentation will really try to focus on some of the aspects that probably contributed to why it worked. It will not be a complete overview of the system. It would be too much to do anyway in, in one presentation. As already mentioned, in 2002, the health system was in shambles. The new ministry faced many obstacles, and one of the things for the HMAS was that there was, for example, no listing of health services. There was some list that existed, but completely out of date and actually maintained in Islamabad in Pakistan. Vertical programs were being implemented and had their own information systems. They were all kept by the UN agencies, not in the ministry. NGOs that were working in the countries, because of the Taliban regime maybe, were very reluctant to share information. And what existed as a central routine service statistics database was very incomplete and was not supported by an IT infrastructure that could be called that in the ministry. And decisions in the ministry at that time were taken on all kinds of grounds, but not on data or evidence. Now, at the same time, there were some opportunities in 2002, 2003. It was clear that there would be a sustained influx of donor inputs for several years, so there would be some money available also for developing a routine information system. With that donor input would come some technical assistance, which was necessary to develop the system. And it may sound unlikely, but there was active donor coordination taking place at that time in Afghanistan. The other good news was that the MOPH, as mentioned by the other speakers, had set clear health policy strategies and priorities, basically the BPHS, a basic package for all of Afghanistan. Also, they had realized that they were unable to implement what was contained in the basic package and went for contracting out to NGOs. That allowed the ministry to really focus much more on the management of the whole system, including the information system needed to do the management of the system. It also required, from the donor's part, some ongoing performance monitoring of the contracted entities, the NGOs, and it allowed the ministry, in the contracts of the NGOs, to demand and enforce, to a certain degree at least, contractual compliance with the requests or the MOPH reporting systems. The first thing the ministry did was get a hold of what was still existing in Afghanistan. What needed to be done was pretty clear. They didn't need a survey for that. If you are in a country like Afghanistan, one of the poorest in the world, with no health systems, everybody knows where the priorities are. Childhood diseases, maternal health, that basically sums it up. That's where your big mortality is. You don't need a survey to tell you that that is what you need to address. The ministry knew that, and the BPHS focuses mainly on these conditions. What was needed for the ministry was to get a handle on what do we have to work with, what is still working. And so they, very early on in 2002, they started in a six-month period surveying all the existing facilities, seeing what was still working, what services were being provided, what were the gaps, both in in coverage and inputs needed for adequate service delivery. The main findings was that there were huge discrepancies in distribution of health facilities. Some provinces were quite nicely covered, others didn't have anything. A large lack of trained female health staff, which is of course very important in Afghanistan, where most females can only be seen by female health staff. And then considerable gaps in equipment, supplies, trained staff to offer the basic MCH services. What they also reconfirmed was the impression that NGOs provided more than 80% of all the services out in the provinces. So, with these findings, they set out basically what this did, it put the ministry in a position of strength. Before that, everybody said, nobody knows what's in Afghanistan. Now the ministry was the only one that knew. They had all the information. In many other countries that are in conflict or post-conflict, it's either the UN or other agencies that have the knowledge of what exists more than the ministry. Early on in Afghanistan, that was reversed and everything came into the ministry's hands. So strong with the results of this first survey, they set out to develop something that would maintain that in their hands. And so they used the simplified questionnaire of the survey to start registering health facilities. So they made it a precondition for funding through the donor mechanism and the contracting out that any facility of the NGO had to be registered with the minister, with the ministry. That led again to an updated database and based became the basis of the whole system. They created an HMAS task force. We started working, and Dr. Partamin was part of that in the beginning, actually. And these are the working principles. I'm not going to go through them in detail, but the most important things that were that use what is existing. NGOs use data collection tools at the local level. Well, don't change them if they work. Don't impose something new. Only see whether it's adequate enough to give us the information needed to manage the system. Don't change anything that works. Make better use of what's already there. And make sure that all the data collected is useful for the people implementing the services. Throughout the development process, the biggest challenge was people from the outside, often called experts, like me, myself sometimes, wanting to have more and more information out of a routine system. The more you ask, the less you get, basically, in a routine system. So the development process started by developing all the stakeholders, different MOPH departments, the UN agencies, donor representatives, and NGOs. The working groups and the task force were made up of a mix of information experts, program managers, and clinicians. Very often, information systems are delegated to information experts. Here it was a real mix, and most of it was actually driven by the program managers and the clinicians. It was different modules were developed, all based on the BPHS. So each module corresponded one by one with one of the elements of the BPHS that needed to be monitored. The vertical programs were left alone. Initially, people said, oh, you need to integrate them. We, that means the ministry in the working group, said, no, if the routine health information system, the general system, is good enough, they will come and ask to be integrated. And since last year, the TB program is asking to be integrated because the routine system works better than the vertical one. To keep focus, the first focus was on the levels where most patients were seen, which is the BPHS, that means community level and clinic level. That came with a particular challenge because at the community level, most of the providers were non-literate. So quite a bit of effort went into development of culturally acceptable pictorial tools that were tested, retested, changed, and refined until they worked. Another challenge was the high turnover of expatriate experts. And so it was really very important to document everything that was done and develop the guidelines along with all the tools and the computer modules that were developed. Whenever a new expatriate expert came, they wanted to start from zero, regardless of what was done before. That was a challenge, as you may remember in the beginning, to keep the momentum going in spite of the experts that arrived. Another question was computerization. Given the sheer number of numbers that needed to be managed, some computerization at some levels needed to be done. However, the challenge was that there was very little computer literacy in Afghanistan outside the NGO community, and also that several attempts to computerize things in the ministry all failed because of the lack of the necessary people and hardware. So what was decided was to computerize where it was necessary and where it really improved the system. For example, no web-based applications. One of the first questions we always get when people ask about, do you have web access? No, we don't want it, because it would limit the access to a happy few in a country where most of the people don't have electricity, don't have web access, basically, and all that. The other thing was to avoid data entry bottlenecks when you computerize. The previous system that they tried to put in place failed because of that. All paper came up to the ministry, was put in a big closet, and stayed there because nobody had the time to put it into the computer. So from the start, a system was developed that would allow data entry as peripherally as possible in the provinces, with the NGOs, wherever the computer was available. The design was modular. Why? Because, as Ambarasi mentioned and Dr. Parthamin as well, there is constant development of the system. So if you would like to do the whole system at once, by the time you finish, it's changed. So we started module by module. Again, for each module in the BPHS that was well defined, an HMS model was developed and a computer model was developed. This allowed the stepwise development, and we could implement certain models before the others were finished. We used relational databases for entering and querying, but the real user interface for analysis had to be in spreadsheets. Early on, we tried to teach database management to people. It doesn't work. Spreadsheets people were familiar with, and they were quite up to the level where they could use pivot tables for reporting and filtering of the data. We also, from the start, made a detailed documentation for general users and replication managers of the database. Here you can see how it kind of flows. It's a mix of paper and computerized systems. There are two parallel systems. One is with contracting out and contracting in. Contracting in are purely MOPH facilities that report to the provincial departments, and the contracting out are the NGOs that report to the NGOs, who then, where the dotted arrows are, either report to the provinces or directly to the central government. This is different in each province. Why? Because the capacity at the provincial level is quite different. Some provinces like Herat, Jalalabad, Mazar-i-Sharif, they're up to very good levels of computer management and all that, so they can really manage the system. Many others are able to use computers, but not to manage a computerized system. That is slowly changing. Some of them were not even able to manage to use computers. So to allow for all that, the system was really a hybrid of the different possible situations, but adapted to what was the situation in each province and for each NGO in each district. Oops. So it is a long process. You can't do this in 6 months. You can do it on paper in 6 months, no problem. Anybody, I guess, in this room could put a system like this on paper in a few months and say, now this is it. Getting it going is something else. It really is a stepwise approach, as you see, over 7 years from the start with giving facilities a unique idea, to developing the tools, to testing it in 13 provinces, revising it, rolling it out nationally, evaluating it, seeing that there are some modules that need to change, including the hospitals in December 05, starting to pull in other databases that were being developed, like the HR database, we'll come to that later. You starting to use the national monitoring efforts for routine data quality checking, pulling in a surveillance disease early warning system in late 2006. And all of that culminated in Afghanistan being the first country to produce an HIS strategic plan according to the Health Metrics Network methodology. So it's a long process, but it works apparently. So one of the difficult things I've seen in other countries is that the system is in place and it works fine in a few provinces or a few cities, and that is it. So in Afghanistan, as you can see, the light blue ones is the number of active facilities in each year. And then the purple ones are the ones that are reporting monthly. It goes up, and starting from the late 2006, there is about the same proportion. More than 80% of all facilities report monthly activities up to the central level, which is remarkably good. Another preoccupation is what is being reported really a reflection of what happened in the facilities. And so with the national monitoring checklist, which is implemented by another department of the ministry, not by the same department, they go out and check data sets in the facilities, whether what was reported came up to the central level for that facility was actually what is in the registers of that facility. And so, again, over the years, you see a slight increase in accuracy. For OPD morbidity, which means some 20-odd important diseases that are routinely reported on, the accuracy is around 80%. For obstetric services, which was lower in the beginning, again, it comes up to 80%. Now, this is done on a quarterly basis in different facilities. Each year, about 30% of all facilities are being monitored for this. Every quarter, a report is made, and it allows to look what specific component of the BPHS was not well reported upon. For example, in this quarter, suddenly there was a drop in accuracy on family planning reporting. When we investigated, it was because some of the facilities shifted to the new reporting system without training the staff. They just assumed people will understand. So it was picked up within the next 3 months, and then steps were taken in training to bring it back up to the normal level. Now, there are about almost 10,000 health posts in Afghanistan, which are manned or womaned by community health workers that are largely non-literate, but also volunteer. So they are not paid by the ministry. They do receive some medicines for free for distribution and use, but they're not paid. We know that about more than 90% of them get supervised at least once a quarter by the facility staff that is supposed to provide them ongoing supervision and refresher training. And we also have seen that close to 75% submit monthly activities on family planning, IMCI, immunization, nutrition, pregnancy care, and delivery. So in Afghanistan, the Ministry of Health, when you're in the central ministry, you do have data that is at the most 3 months old up to the community level of what happened in each of the districts in Afghanistan. Now, how is the HMS data used? Because any data that is not used simply becomes obsolete. So the implementing NGOs report quarterly to the MOPH on their monthly activities on all the BPHS components. They use that data for their own performance assessment. Are things going as they should? Are we doing the right thing and all that? Now, the MOPH itself reports to Parliament and Cabinet with charts and maps on facility distribution, very political, and coverage with services. This has allowed that health has remained a priority in the cabinet in Afghanistan. They were the only ones that were able to really show what was happening. They also report to the annual results conference in strategic planning, so those data feed into the strategic planning each year for the next year. And the provincial governments and health directors are kept updated on progress in their own province. One feature I forgot to mention is that whoever contributes to the computerized system, even with one report, gets in return the complete analysis version of that database. So by contributing a little bit, you get all the information of everything that's happening in Afghanistan in all the health facilities and health posts. NGOs are able to follow up activities of the individual facilities. This is an example of one of the maps that regularly goes to cabinet. In 2002, the district population per facility, all that's red is grossly underserved. 2010, there's hardly any red left. But so quarter by quarter, the ministry, but also cabinet, the government can follow what is happening with health in Afghanistan. This is what the provincial people get. It's a province map of Panjshir province. It shows the population densities and the implantation of different health facilities accordingly. And this is discussed in the provincial planning meetings, like here in Paktika, which is one of the inaccessible provinces, but still, since it's all in the hands of the local people, the system works, because it's not seen as something that necessarily comes from Kabul and is imposed. For performance measuring, for example, on quarterly basis, people see how many client visits for family planning are performed in Afghanistan. It allows to see what the importance is of the community health workers in the total scene for different contracting out mechanisms. Yeah, these are different contracting out mechanisms that the ministry has with different donors. They have different approaches. But so it allows the ministry to see what is happening, to what extent does the community component contribute, to what extent is there a difference between the contracting mechanisms, and how can we unify it, how can we standardize it. Something else that was touched upon is that there is a lack of human resources in general still, but certainly for females. Now, what we found out early on is there was no computerized system to manage human resources in the ministry. There was a paper system, and just updating it, making the annual report took six months effort. to get the report ready for late March, they had to start in July and do it all manually. So what we helped the ministry with was making an inventory of public sector human resources, not only MOPH employees, but also all the NGO employees that were in the BPHS. Again, it was done similarly as for the HMS database, taking into account what people could use, what they could use at the local level. The good thing, something that we ran into, was that in Afghanistan, there was no unique ID for anybody. The government has officially an ID card, but most of the people don't have one, or have five or six, depending. So the ministry then started giving unique ministry IDs. That doesn't mean that you're a ministry employee. It means that you contribute to the ministry's health effort. And so at the moment, close to 30,000 people are registered like that. Now, a good lesson is that we started registering in 2005 with a very simple system. This is in tens of thousands. And then there were some HR specialists that came and said, oh, but this is not enough, we need much more. So they imposed a much more complex system, hired expert programmers, and the whole system crashed a year later. And we had to start from zero with the simple system, which now has the close to 30,000 people registered. A quick analysis of what's in there now. I'm not going to go through all of them. What does show is not enough nurses, not enough midwives. This doesn't mean they're working, they're simply registered. So the available pool is not big enough to do what the ministry is trying to do. Later on, CHWs were getting registered as well. About 50% of them are registered now from all provinces, including the so-called difficult ones or dangerous ones. And there is a good balance between male and females. At this moment, several other databases have been put in place in the ministry that are linked to, all of them are linked. And what is still out there is the EPI database, is still maintained by WHO. The malaria database, still maintained by WHO. And a drug management database that is only being developed. So in conclusion, developing early on in a situation like Afghanistan, a routine health information system that is really responding to the local needs, strengthens the stewardship of the Ministry of Health. It really gives them much more, a much more important role in the discussions with the donors and things like that. You do need close operations between IT people and the implementers and the clinicians. If you don't do that, you end up with something that looks nice on paper, nice in the computer, and nobody uses it. If you start as early as possible and do it modular so that each module can be implemented separately. You don't have to wait for the whole system to function before you can implement it. You can start with what's working already and add little by little the additional modules. At any time, the local maintenance capacity of the system overrules any fancy technology. Every quarter we get people that come up with cell phones, with web access, things like that. Why? If it can be maintained locally without huge external expertise, don't go for it. It will collapse. Decentralized data entry analysis as far as possible. Again, it shows the people that what they contribute is useful for them, and it avoids the bottlenecks that otherwise show up in the system. A last thing is that all of this sounds as something that's easy to do, but it does go against the grain of many of the international agencies. In a country like Afghanistan, most of the expatriates stay for 6 months, and they want to make a difference in 6 months. They don't have time to wait for the system to develop to show that they did make a difference. So you get constantly in conflict with people that want to go for a quick assessment instead of building a routine health information system. Thanks.
Folks, this is, I gotta say, this, I mean, professional presentations are professional presentations, but this is very exciting stuff. I mean, these folks have done wonderful things in a country that is just so needful. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to hear all three of your presentations. It's absolutely wonderful. I congratulate you. We have time for a few questions. Throw them out, folks. Ma'am.
The data collection at the health post is done with pictorial, a community mapping system, and a pictorial tally sheet. And then the supervisor of the health facility that specifically supervises the health post helps translate the pictorial tally sheet into a monthly activity report for the CHW.
Yes, ma'am.
Afghanistan should be congratulated for incorporating zinc into the system, where still many other countries are going through the lengthy, lengthy process of certifying it for use. So I'm just saying this is the story that unfortunately Americans don't hear a lot. It's one something that's been invested in that's working well, so the EPHS system is working well. Having said that, some of the NGOs that are implementing it still need capacity, mostly management capacity, planning, financial management, record keeping, that kind of stuff. And I would encourage that to continue. But first, I work in a lot of Africa, Latin America, South Asia, and to come somewhere where the major discussion isn't drug logistics or vaccine logistics is just a real pleasure. And I just wanted to congratulate you on that.
Great, thank you. Sir.
Question that really goes to the whole panel, and I'll preface it by saying I know nothing about Afghanistan health system in my first exposure. But this is more of a strategic question than a two-part question. In the health sector, did you start with an end-state definition and associated business model or healthcare delivery model, and associated with that some concept of public-private distribution or delivery of services, what parameters you were after in optimizing that system, and did those parameters have a temporal vision in terms of their evolution in that healthcare system? So I'm looking to ask, was there an overarching in-state definition and associated business model to begin with that you could construct your parameter sets to evaluate its strategic evolution?
Don't pass up this opportunity, folks.
I would actually then put that question to Paul because he's been there from the start. But at, in our perspective, when we started off with our scorecard, it was very exploratory because we really didn't have a defined system or measure to start with, except the basic package of health services, which was defined by NSH mostly with their investments. With their investments, and Paul
A good question, and there is no yes or no answer, I guess, to that. When in 2002, there was, as I said, the common feeling, yes, there will be money available, there will be technical assistance available. But at the beginning, people didn't even know what was there. what the system was. When we say health system, what are we talking about? That's why they needed. Yeah, and so that's why they needed to go out and make an inventory. What do we have? How many clinics? What type of clinics? How many people are working there? What are they actually providing? Yes, they call it a clinic, and the only thing they do is hand out some paracetamol for headaches. Is that a real clinic? So in that sense, yes, there was some stock taking of where are we? And where do we want to get? Was linked in basically with the Millennium Development Goals for Afghanistan, which are all in the MCH area for health, nutrition, assisted deliveries, childhood illnesses and EPI coverage, things like that. So that was translated in what they call the basic package with indicators and benchmarks that needed to be achieved. Some of them have been achieved, some of them have not yet been achieved, but maybe achieved maybe by 2015. Does that answer your question?
Sally Craig?
I'm Sally Craig, Huber from Management Sciences for Health, and I had the privilege and pleasure of working with all of these people. I've been here for a couple of years. And when people ask me that question, I say, and I've worked in many, many different countries, I have never worked in a country where the ministry had a better vision of what is meant by stewardship, and I've never worked in a country where there was better collaboration by all stakeholders. I mean, the way work is done in Afghanistan is just remarkable in the sense that the ministry hosts technical working groups on whatever issue, and everybody participates and listens and contributes. It's an amazing, amazing process. And I don't know what the magic is. I think it's just the magic of Afghanistan. But what you heard is very real.
So, when we're launched, I thought this. So, what's the ultimate sustainability model for this?
That was one question I was going to actually ask Paul, and that is, in your milestones list, Paul, the one thing that I participated in that I thought was a beautiful evolution was that a certain planned point in the history of the development of this HMIS, the whole system was handed over from the Technical Assistance Agency to the ministry in a large ceremony where the ministry took ownership of this system. And it was theirs, and it's remained theirs since January 2006.
Dr. Pardamine, I think you were the last word.
Yeah, just related to the same question. Actually, Ministry of Public Health started from nothingness. I have been part of the Ministry of Public Health for some time. I was manager of the Global Fund Management Unit, so there was absolutely nothing in 2001. And then, as Sally Craig just mentioned, the first thing that was very important was that the sense, the awareness of the role of stewardship of Ministry of Public Health. So all efforts were put by Ministry of Public Health to just realize that. And it was quite successful with the external aid and with the drive, internal drive that was there. And at the beginning, because of these two things, at the beginning, actually, we accepted any kind of help in any shape. So What resulted into a chaos at certain levels. For example, a difference in payment levels. It was huge, it was crazy. The different NGOs would pay different levels. For example, ministry staff would receive $40 per month, and an NGOs would receive $1,200,000 per month. So it was crazy differences. And that triggered more development of more policies and strategies and standardization and improvement of stewardship role of Ministry of Public Health. That has been tremendous. That has been huge. But then also certain other developments in relationship to public services and private services. In the Constitution, according to the Constitution, it says that services are free. Health services are free. So no health facility, no public health facility can charge. But meanwhile, private sector is booming. Private health sector is booming. It's encouraged, it's supported to a great extent. So it's going parallel. While the public health facilities are providing services for free through the centrally financed mechanisms currently by external aids, private health is, private health services are also booming, and it's encouraged by Ministry of Public Health. And that, I hope, will pave road to a more sustainable health system in Afghanistan.
Thank you. Folks, I'm afraid we got to wrap it up. We're going to get thrown out of here. So I would like to, I mean, you can buttonhole the panelists afterwards if they're still around, but we're going to have to vacate the room. I must say it's a great joy to have been here to hear all this, to sort of be around in an era, not like our colleagues who from a generation ago, who really did not have, they worked on the basis primarily of faith. We did not have yet the evidence that things work. Today we have evidence, we have systems, and it's a great day to be a health worker and a proponent of health services in places like Afghanistan. I want to thank the panelists and all of you for joining us. Thank you so much.